Hello, my name's Juicy Pat Lucy, and you're listening to episode 31 of The Juicy Details. I mean, it took me a good minute or two to remember what episode I am on. Feels like it's been forever since I've done one, but it's only been like a week since episode 30 with Pelly Primo. Anyways, today's episode 31, and it's still March. It's March 13th as I record this. It is still Wear Early Now month. And joining me today, he's a professional wrestler who, to my knowledge, has been retired since 2010. It seems like he's had a short career, but I believe he had a great career for only being 2 years. He's wrestled in Beyond Wrestling, Absolute Intense Wrestling, a bunch of other promotions in the Midwest, so I'm going to get him on and interview him for a good 20-30 minutes and see what happens. Joining me right now on The Juicy Details, he's a former member of the Beyond Wrestling roster and a former Absolute Intense Wrestling Women's Champion, Jefferson Saint. How you doing today, Jeff?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me.
No, I believe you're on the very short list of people who've held women's champions who has male genitalia. Do you know that?
Yeah, it's the history between me and wrestling the women was almost actually never happened. The first time I wrestled a woman was Haley Hatred at AIW. Originally, it was supposed to be Jack Verville, and then he backed out of the show, and they needed somebody last minute. I just happened to be in the in his faction in AIW, and they put me in the match, and it just clicked, and we just went from there. I came through the curtain, and Thorn was just like, "That's gonna be your new thing." That was great out there.
I remember that feud clearly. You and Haley, you had great series of matches, singles matches, tag matches, and the idea of you holding the women's champion at the time, I thought that was pretty funny.
It was definitely fun. It was the only championship I actually ever held.
Yeah, you're on the list of guys like Chuck Taylor and like Harvey Whippleman, who've held women's titles.
What a great list to be part of.
Exactly. Well, Okay. Well, I'm going to get right into some questions. My first question I always ask is, how did you become a fan of professional wrestling when you were younger?
The earliest I can remember always just it was on and watching as a very young kid on Saturday and Sunday mornings. The first live show, I'm originally from New York, and the first live show I ever went to was Madison Square Garden about 2 or 3 weeks before WrestleMania 7. And I still remember it vividly, Axel Jim Duggan versus Sergeant Slaughter in a flag match. And Hogan came out to make the save at the end. And they got me that night, and I've been hooked ever since.
If my first wrestling show had Hacksaw Jim Duggan in the main event, I would be hooked instantly, too.
I actually got to hang out with Hacksaw Jim Duggan one time, and I told him that story, and he was like, gotcha. he was so happy to hear that from someone.
I haven't met a fan yet who isn't fond of Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Like, if they've seen a Hacksaw Jim Duggan match, like, I don't know anyone who says, oh, man, Hacksaw, he sucked, man. I hate him.
And he's the nicest man, too.
I believe it. So, jumping forward, what got you into training to become a professional wrestler later on?
Well, I went to college up in Providence, Rhode Island, and you know, to be honest with you, I started off as many people do, and don't really talk about it too much. Backyard wrestling a little bit, and you know, I did that for quite a while. And you know, looking back at it now, oh God, was it bad? It was so bad. And then I just got in touch with somebody that was training in some place in Bedford, Massachusetts, about 45 minutes away from where I was staying in college. And I started, just went and checked it out, and so happens to be it was Anthony Stone, who also wrestles Beyond Wrestling now, was one of the trainers there, and that's how I got started with them.
Do you remember your backyard name, your backyard wrestling name? Was it Jefferson Saint, or was it something entirely different?
Oh, no, it was something terrible, and you know, in that group was also a guy by the name that goes now by Denver, Colorado. That's where me and him met. Years and years, he was actually still in high school. He was a senior in high school when I met him, and I was a freshman in college.
All right. Yeah, so you know you've knew Denver all these years, and is that how you found out about Beyond in the first place?
Well, actually, the story behind is that I was actually living with Denver and Ricky Shane Page up in Sandusky, Ohio. Me and Denver have been quite good friends for a very long time. He was actually the best man at my wedding. But yeah, back to the backyard stuff, it was Jimmy Starbucks, such a bad name that was given to me by someone because I looked like somebody he worked with that's name was Jimmy Starback, and they're like, oh, you're Jimmy Starbucks. I'm like, oh, okay. And it just stuck, and like all my good friends still call me that to this day.
That's not the worst backyard name I've heard. From my experience, like most names, like, had like the word extreme in it was with an X or just X, like, oh, I'm King X or
something.
There was
one guy in the backyard promotion that was named Extreme. Then there's Extreme Eliminator, and then a whole bunch of other people with just terrible names.
But no, as far as backyard names, yours is nowhere near the worst I've heard, so.
Everyone have fun going on YouTube and finding Jimmy Starbucks and watching just terribleness. Just so bad.
Did you ever come out with Starbucks coffee with you?
No, I was a blatant ripoff of like of Tommy Dreamer because I was a hardcore ECW fan, and I don't know. I came out with a kendo stick and taped fists and very different than Jefferson Saint.
Well, that was going to be sort of my next question. Do you have any influences while you're training? Because, like, when I saw you live in the ring during the days of AIW, I thought you had an old-school look and appeal to you. So I'm wondering if you had, like, any, like, old-school influences with you.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I loved old-school wrestling. I still watch it this day. Of course, Ric Flair, Four Horsemen, Tully Blanchard. I always say Teddy DiBiase too. Teddy DiBiase I still consider the best bumper of all time. Larry Zbyszko, stuff like that.
Now, you just mentioned that you were living with Denver, Colorado, Ricky Shane Page and Sandusky, and it was around that time that Beyond started. Do you remember how Beyond got started?
Well, we used to run just shows with a bunch of our friends that were wrestlers. We taped them for ourselves. We never released them or anything. We just kind of, you know, had fun. They would take all day long. We would have like half hour in between each match, have a barbecue going. And everyone would just have fun. And the first couple Beyond tapings, you can tell it was a lot of the same guys. And the idea was just an excuse to get together with a lot of your friends and to have a wrestling show. Because we noticed that, you know, we had something there. There was a lot of guys that were on the cusp of really doing something. They were really good, but, you know, we also wanted to just hang out and have fun. But so then Drew came up with just, why don't we get them all together, have everyone come out to Ohio and put on a show just for us. And, you know, we got the footage back and we watched it over and we're like, you know what, this is really good. Let's put it out there and see what happens. And, you know, it evolved into what Beyond is today.
Did you ever think it was going to, like, shoot up and, like, evolve? Not for a second, no?
At first, I thought, so, you know, our friends are going to love this. And then about half a dozen people are going to watch it on YouTube. And that's going to be the end of it. We're just going to go back to wrestling the local indies and stuff. And then it just started getting legs and people started, you know, talking about it. And the YouTube hits kept on getting bigger and bigger. And then we did another one. And then Drew started putting out DVDs online and people buy them. And it all started rolling real quick to the point where we started to get recognition as being an actual promotion, which it never originally intended to be, kind of. Well, it did, but at the same time, it didn't.
Yeah, I remember. I was actually one of the first people ever to buy one of those, the first ever Beyond DVDs at one of the AIW shows. But I loved the concept back then. You know, it's for one, it's free wrestling. I mean, if you're a fan, who doesn't love the word free? You know, up on YouTube. And, you know, it just showcased some of these unknown talents, like yourself at the time. You know, you went out there 15 minutes, you know, busted your ass, and you put on a good show, and from there, like you said, it just evolved, it skyrocketed to this whole new, like, wave of, it's like, I believe Denver said it best, he doesn't consider Beyond a wrestling promotion, he considers it more like a movement, like a revolution.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
And, yeah, I agree with him 100%.
Like, for me, one of the first shows I had wrestled, I believe, Corvus Fear. And, you know, and Thorne and Biggins were just happened to show up to the show and hang out and watch. And before that, you know, they had used me for, you know, as a sidekick for the... what was Jack of Love, was it? Me, Jack Beverly, and Bobby Beverly.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And, Jack, you know, I was like the third bottom tier guy, just, you know, just kind of there. And after the show, they're like, when did you be able to work? And I was like, you know, I've always been kind of good, you know. And then the Haley hatred started happening, and they started to use me a lot more in different roles. And it really... Beyond really created that for me.
Now, I'm not sure how much you keep up with it today, but from what you've seen or heard from, what do you think about the Beyond product today?
I mean, I absolutely love it, and I'm you know, I wish I could be a part of it still, but at the same time, I look at it and the talent there. You know, I look in and say, well, could I even compete with some of these guys? You know, guys like J.T. Dunn and Gulak and, of course, my buddy Dickinson up there. He's gotten so much better over the years from the first time being in that. Just, I remember that being one of my favorite matches I've ever had with me and Chris Dickinson, just completely beating the tar out of each other. And now I look at it and think, oh, I don't think I can go square up with Dickinson anymore. He's evolved into something so much more.
Now, I hate to bring in some negativity here, but I'm not sure if you've been keeping up on Twitter for the past couple of days. Do you know Mike Bennett from Ring of Honor?
I've never met him.
Well, he's been very critical about Beyond and the idea of it, about... You know, wrestlers doing the studio tapings of wrestling before the wrestlers. He thinks it's like he pretty much says it's a waste of time. It's a disgrace. Like wrestlers should only be wrestling in front of fans and being paid to do it. Do you have any rebuttals or Like, have you heard some of these?
I've heard back and forth every now and then on Twitter and whatnot. You know, it's some guys take it one way, some guys take it the other way. There were a lot of guys who were in that same boat who didn't get it, who didn't understand what Dion did for people. You know, yes, you work for free for the studio tapings. I've never been on one of the live shows for Beyond, but the studio tapings really get you in front of people. It's almost like a training show, but so much more. It gets you in front of people that you need to be in front of. You know, a lot of people these days go to all these seminars, and they're actually paying to go to these seminars to be in front of people. Well, this is you're not really paying, but you're not getting paid, and you're just doing the same thing, getting in front of people and showing what you can do.
Absolutely agree. And one of the best things that I love about Beyond is, you know, they have the YouTube channel. It's like almost 10,000 subscribers, I believe, or close to it. But, you know, it gives us these young talents, you know, a chance to get noticed. You know, if they have a good match, you know, it'll be put on YouTube, and with, you know, thousands of fans could have the access to watch that. And then you send that to promoters, the wrestlers, and then, you know, it can show them that, hey, you know, I'm pretty good, you know, you should book me. And then from there on out, you know, and I believe Beyond has given plenty of talent the chance to shine, and because of that, some talents like JT Dunn, Biff Busick, I can name a lot more, but, you know, those guys, you know, I believe their careers have only risen because of Beyond.
And I mean, even back in my generation of Beyond was me and Chase Burnett and Zane Silver.
Yeah.
Those two guys got on some pretty big name shows because of Beyond Wrestling. You know, guys like Chris Dickinson first got their name out there after his first weekend with Beyond Wrestling. His first match in Beyond Wrestling was him and Eric Alvarado, and they beat the holy hell out of each other. And if you go on lookmonofans.com, you'll find it there, and it really is just a brutal, brutal match, and it really made Chris that day.
Yeah, another thing I love is Denver, he's not like saying that, hey, Beyond has made these guys. No, I think the message is Beyond
they made themselves.
Yeah, exactly. Beyond is just a platform for these guys to showcase their talent and to improve even beyond what they're already good at, really.
And I remember back in the day, Drew coming up to people and going, "What do you want to do? Go do it."
Good old Denver. Going back to your career a little bit, so it seems like, at least from my record book, you only wrestled for 2 years, at least. Is that right? 2-3 years, maybe?
I was on and off for quite a while. I originally trained up in Massachusetts, and I wrestled a few shows up there. I trained for over a year before I even had my first match. And I was one of those people that I never wanted to go out there and embarrass myself. I come from a amateur wrestling background. I wanted to go out there and not look like a rookie. I wanted to go out there and look like I knew what I was doing before I, you know, went out there for the first time. I went out, did a couple matches, did really well for myself, and then had some personal issues. I had to move back to New York. And then when I lived in New York for a few years, did some on and off stuff. And then one day I just got a really important phone call from Denver, Colorado, saying, "Hey, you want to move up to Ohio?" And took it from there. Started working the Cleveland scene. But, you know, I worked for a while and then went away, came back, then I went away again.
Well, getting down right to the question, why did you retire? I believe it was 2010 that you retired and then eventually moved down to Florida.
Yeah, just my body had been beat up from even before I even started professional wrestling, from football, baseball, wrestling, hockey for years, just. And then met my wife in Ohio, moved down to Florida with, where her family was. And, you know, I actually started to try and come back down here in Florida for a little bit, started training at a facility down here, and then re-injured my hip. And since then, I stopped.
So, like, are you permanently retired, or is there ever a chance down the line that you could make a semi-return, maybe not full-time, but maybe part-time return to professional wrestling? Would you like that to happen?
I would love for that to happen someday. You know, it would have to be for the right reason, for the right thing, for the right company. Probably I would only come back really for Beyond. You know, I've been trying to push Denver to do a show down here in Tampa. But, you know...
That's going to take a lot of pushing.
It's going to take a lot of pushing. But I think, that, you know, one of these days I will make it up to set music for a Beyond show. Hopefully sooner than later. And maybe I'll do something. Maybe I'll just stand in the crowd. But, you know, I still always say I feel like I still have one left in the tank. But I don't know.
Well, I personally would love to see you return, you know, at a Beyond show. That'd be awesome. Maybe even back in AIW. Who knows? Maybe you and Haley could go at it a couple more times.
Is she back in the U.S. yet? Or is she still in Japan? I haven't heard anything from her in years.
That's the thing. Not a lot of people... well, she wrestled in AIW for the women's show, like, last year or maybe the year before. She's been in Japan, but no one's really heard from her from like months now, like going on a year.
Really? Weird.
Yeah, it's not like she's dead or nothing. At least I hope not. By God, but no one's heard from her.
I know that Haley. I've wrestled Haley more than I've wrestled anybody else.
Really? Is that really? That's a fact.
That is a 100% fact. I have wrestled Haley more times than I have wrestled anybody else.
Wow.
Yeah, me and her always had really good chemistry. I definitely credit her with a lot of my success. You know, she is a very good talent and unfortunately missed in over here in the U.S., but, you know, hopefully she's doing well in Japan. I mean, in character, I'll rip her head off. But no, really, we do miss her over here.
Well, Jeff, the last thing I want to do on the show is something new I've been doing to the podcast recently. Is I call it Juicy Association. It's the same thing as Word Names Association. I'm going to name off 8 names, 8 people that you've worked with over the years. And then I need you to say the first word that pops in your head about them. And if you'd like to tell a story about them, say something else about them afterwards, by all means you can. Sound good?
Okay.
The first name, the Necro Butcher.
Hurting. Definitely the biggest name I ever, well, close to the now relevancy, and plus then relevancy, the biggest name I ever worked. You know, him coming in was definitely a long time in the making. We had originally thought of him coming in years and years and years ago, doing something with us or our group of guys, and then it never came to fruition. And finally, Denver came up to me and he's like, "Hey, you want to work the Necro Butcher?" I was like, "What? sure, that sounds fun." And as you've probably seen, his hardcore style is not really my style. Never really got into that stuff, but I thought that was one of the bigger moments for Beyond, is getting him for us.
Oh yeah, no doubt. Up until like 2009, 2010, when it was starting out, that was definitely the biggest moment for Beyond, having Necro come in and doing a couple matches. And yeah, your match with him, that was brutal, to say the least.
I remember it fondly. I was very happy with it afterwards.
Well, okay, the next name I have on my list, Jack Verville.
Thanks. That's the first thing that comes to my head. Thanks. Thanks for not showing up that day at Skate World and letting me wrestle Haley.
Interesting.
But he's a good guy. He's a good guy. Can't say one bad thing about him.
I love Jack. I love the stable. To this day, I'm always telling AIW, hey, we need Jack and Love to come back. All of them. I don't care. All of them. Okay, let me compose myself. Jack and Love. I don't care. Next name, AIW promoter, John Thorne.
John Thorne. One word. Wow, that's hard. I always got along with John very well. At one point, right at the end of my career, really, he got into a tiff with Beyond, and that kind of ended my run at AIW, because I chose Beyond over them. But, you know, we were always very cordial after that, and we still talk every now and then. I like John. John's a good guy. Good guy. There we go. John Thorne.
Next name, JT Lightning.
Another guy I have to use the same word for thanks. He was one of the guys that saw something in me, and he definitely gave me my first opportunity to wrestle someone a name, like a from the past, and he let me work with Buddy Landell.
Buddy Landell?
And Buddy Landell, and I blew it. I blew it that night, big time. It was bad. It was bad. And he gave me a talking to that night, and a talking to I deserved at that point. And the very next night, me, JT, and I forget who the... And Buddy Landell, wow. Me, JT, and Buddy Landell were a three-man team for Mega. And I made up for it that night. You know, it went real well, and he would give me encouraging words, and it always meant a lot to me. It always meant a lot to me every time he he actually, one night, I was looking for kind of a new look and whatnot, looking for some new trunks and whatnot, and he actually gave me a pair of his old trunks. His purple and white trunks. I still have them in my bag.
Wow, that's pretty amazing.
Yeah, I thought, unfortunately, they did not fit. Because I was going to wear them at one point, and then I tried them on, and I was like, this isn't going to work.
Well, it is the thought that counts.
It was the thought that counts, and he was a much bigger man than I.
Okay, next name, Matt Cross.
Great. first thing that comes to my mind is he's just great. He was another guy that was just very encouraging to me. I got to tag with him one time up at Clash. I think it was, yeah, Clash.
Yeah, Clash up in Michigan, yeah.
Yeah, we were the Beyond team for their tag tournament or something. And, you know, it was cool because back in high school and whatnot, I had purchased the Best of Backyard Wrestling videotapes. And he was on them. And it was really surreal to actually, you know, get to know him. And he would actually come over to the house every now and then and play. We would have, like, hangouts at the house with me, Denver, Ricky Shane Page, and some wrestling people when we would be in town, and we'd play Rock Band. And Matt was one of those guys who would come over and play Rock Band. Matt Clough, a very good Rock Band player. He would run up and down the stairs still playing and not miss a beat. He was a fun guy. I always follow his stuff, and you know, it's a shame he never really got farther, but he's a great guy.
Well, okay, the next two are a couple ladies.
Okay.
First one, Angel Dust.
Underrated.
I agree with you, definitely. Underrated.
She was awesome. My match with her at Absolution was one of my best matches, I think, entertainment-wise. She is so gung-ho for anything. You know, anything that's going to make the match better, she is gung-ho for it. Like, some of the stuff that I did to her that night, like, most women would not have let me do. You know, I crushed her with some chops that night. And she'd be like, bring it on, keep it coming. I was like, okay. But yeah, no, can't say one bad thing about her.
Allison Kay.
Should be star. She was the real deal too. My match with her, I do believe was her rocket point. It was her point where she sailed off. And she's another one that's down for anything. She, another one where I hit her hard and she was just saying, hit me harder. And I'm like, okay, are you sure? And we got weird in that match a little bit, but it was fun. It was, I ripped her fake eyelashes off and then smacked her in the face with them.
Legit, I still consider that one of my favorite matches from Beyond Wrestling to this day. I remember watching that live as it happened, because I think that night Denver, he tried broadcasting it live, stereotaping.
Yes.
Yeah. And, like,
from his laptop.
Yeah.
Just
and
the webcam on his laptop.
Exactly. It was, yeah, one camera. I remember, like, maybe me and 9 other people watched it that night, but I loved it. And your match with Allison, that made it worth that night.
Awesome.
And then the last name, you mentioned him a couple times, Chris Dickinson.
Unbelievable. I'm so happy for him and how far he's come. You know, from where he started, he's really, and his injury and how he came back from it, tenfold. I'm so happy and proud of him, and I can't wait to see what happens next for him, because the sky's the limit for him.
No, no doubt. He's going to climb to the top of the ladder of independent wrestling. Right now, he's, like, main eventing CZW shows. I wouldn't be surprised to see him in, like, Ring of Honor in the next year or two. And he deserves it, too.
I sure hope so. Chris is one of those guys that puts the work in. He's, you know, he works hard. He works on every aspect of his game, whether on the mic or body or anything. He's, and you know what? He's, what every good professional wrestler needs. He's got a little bit of crazy in him. He's got a little bit of crazy in him. And that just emanates from him.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for taking time and coming on the podcast. Is there anything you would like to say to end the show? Anything you'd like to plug?
I'd like to plug Beyond Wrestling at Fed Music, March 23rd coming up, and lookmanofans.com, Beyond Wrestling. I got that out for you, Denver. No, thank you very much for having me. It's been a pleasure. Hopefully one day y'all see me again in some capacity, but until then, it's been great talking to you.
And thank you, Jeff, and thank you all for listening to another episode of The Juicy Details.